Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
In this week's episode, we discuss mature topics such as sexual assault and suicide. If you are struggling with either of these, please contact a loved one or consider calling the suicide hotline at 988 or the sexual assault hotline at 1-800-656-4673. That's the suicide hotline at 988 or the sexual assault hotline at 1-800-656-4673. 4673.
Welcome to the Come As You Are podcast, where family and friends testify of how the Lord has turned their darkness to light and traded their mourning for dancing. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." I'm your host, Gracie, and I'm just so overjoyed to have the opportunity to do this. The Lord has proven himself to be so good time and time again in my own life, and it just makes my heart happy to hear of what he has done in the lives of others. As you listen, I challenge you to tune into what the Lord has done for others and invite him into your own life too. The Lord is no respecter of persons, so what he did for me and what he did for them, he can do it for you. So come as you are and leave changed by the power of Christ. Hey guys, welcome back to the Come As You Are podcast. Today I'm here with a really good friend, mentor, like just all around great person. And I'm so excited for y'all to hear her story. So why don't you just take it away, how we met, all of that kind of stuff.
Alrighty. Hey guys, I'm Candace. And as Gracie said, we met. We met, a year and a half ago, maybe? The last summer or the summer before?
I think it was this summer.
This past summer. Okay. And she came to apply for a job at my preschool. Mm-hmm. And super cute little add-on I want to do is, so I obviously check references that everybody gives me because that's my job.
Yeah.
But, you know, the references you give probably are going to talk good about you. And she just happened to go to the same high school as my daughter. So I was like, hey, do you know Gracie Den? And she was like, you know, they didn't run in the same circles. When you go to a small school, you know, everybody.
Absolutely.
And Mackenzie was like, oh my gosh, mom, you're going to love her. She's like, so sweet. She is a bubble. She is just so happy. And like, she has this joy about her. She's like, she's a lot like you and you're going to love her.
That's what Keelan was telling me, because like my cousin worked there, and she was telling me, she was like, she just reminds me so much of like an older you. And I was like, that makes me happy. Yeah. I was like, because I just know we're going to get along so well.
And we did. And she did a really good job with my school age. And we kind of bounced her around till we found where she needed to be. And we had a really good time together. And then she, you know, as expected, it was a summertime job. And so she went on. And
yeah,
so it's kind of where we got to know each other through the preschool.
So obviously, like, you texted me and you were like, hey, I have a story, like, my story. I really feel like I need to share
my story, and I literally felt so honored that you would like ask to come on here and talk about it. But I read through, and I kind of really just want to start with, like, I guess you just really giving your background of like how you grew up and all of those things, and kind of just talking us through your testimony. Because I mean, like I said, this is your episode. This is your thing. Like, yeah, you go ahead and you tell like everything that you want to. And
alrighty. Yeah. And I definitely think that me being on here is a God thing. I told my husband, you know, I've worked through a lot of stuff this past few years on my own self. And I'll talk more about that as I get into my testimony. But I was like, I feel like I either have to, I don't know, share Facebook Live, which I was like, I don't really want to do that. But hey, it's an option. And
no, lives scare me. Yeah. Like, I get that.
Yeah. So I was like, and then I was like, okay, maybe I'll do a testimony in front of the church. And I was like, ooh, too many eyes.
Yeah.
So I was like, but I mean, I do think that, you know, we go through the things in life and we work through those. And it is our job and our purpose to share those so we can work through it with others. So that's kind of where it led me to all the thoughts on, hey, I need to share my story. And literally the next day after me and my husband had this conversation, your post on Facebook popped up and I'm like, oh, tell me more, you know? Yeah. So I went and looked at it and I'm like, this is my answer. Like, that's to me was, here's your sign, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, but I didn't know if it was exactly on lines with yours. So when you came back to me, he's like, yes, this is where we're at. Thank you. You know? And it was definitely a reassurance that, yeah, this is what I was supposed to
absolutely do
next. I kind of scripted it out a little bit because I am wanting to make sure I stay on task. And so I just want to kind of jump to where I was at and how I got here and all the things. So in 2020 and early in 2021, we had 9 family deaths, from miscarriages to old age and everything in between, such as heart attack, murder, ALS, COVID, an accidental crossbow shooting, pretty much you named it, we lived through it. We didn't have time to mourn one death before another one hit. And it was just heartache and stress. It would be an understatement. You know, it was a lot.
Yeah.
So going into 2022, I just realized how broken I really was. I'd always kept my faith and prayed, but after this, I just couldn't keep smiling. So for temporary happiness, I bought myself a super cute sports car.
Yeah, I was wondering, whenever I read that, I was like, what did you get? Like, I was so curious.
It is a 2-seater Sky convertible, and it's great, and I love it. It's nothing super fancy, but it's fun, and it's cute, and it can turn the music up real loud, and 2 seats, so, you know, I can't bring all my hooligans with me, so that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Would you say that was, like, one of those things that, like, you felt like tried to like fill a void?
Oh, for sure. And it was it was like, hey, how can I buy happiness would be a good way to put it, you know? Like, I knew like something just needed to give, and so I'm like, oh,
I'll get a sports car.
Yeah. So people want to think it was a midlife crisis. Maybe it kind of was, but I think more it was a this moment crisis.
And like grief, like, that's what you can never underestimate, like what you're like will do whenever you're grieving and whenever you're mourning and stuff. And so that's, been there.
I think it's a fun way. Out of all the things I could have done, a sports car is probably an option.
There you go.
But obviously, clearly, I knew I needed more, that was it. That temporary happiness only goes so far. So I did a few things. I did making time for me in 2023 and do more in 2024. So basically to me, that just meant working to find myself, find my happiness, figure out what all is going on inside and work back to figuring out where I need to be, which also brought me to where all the brokenness began.
Yeah.
So my whole life we were taught to smile and act like everything was okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's so much of like what you, like your generation, like, was very like, you don't show your emotions, you hide it, and you just...
If you have meds, something's wrong with you, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas now it's a normalized, for sure.
Absolutely.
And your feelings are important, and they matter. And back then, we're like, shut up, you're fine.
Yeah, keep smiling.
But at that point, I literally just, I couldn't keep smiling anymore. And that's when I heard the Matthew West song, Truth Be Told.
Yeah.
Oh, I could live by that song. So if y'all haven't heard it, go look it
go
up.
Go listen. Yes.
Yes. But then, like I said, you know, I felt like I needed to tell my story. So I Hebrews stuck out to me, and it talks about how Jesus has gone through suffering and test so that he could help us. I feel like we all go through trials and tribulations and hard times, not only to strengthen our relationship with Jesus and to bring us closer to build that relationship, yeah, but it's also to help others and let them know that they're not alone and that they can get through this.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I've held on to, too, is like understanding that Jesus literally was beaten to the point where, like, he was unrecognizable, like, and hung on a cross in humiliation, honestly, yeah, being mocked and all of those things. But yet, like, he still chose to, like, go through that for us, and then also not even, like, end there, but, like, have a relationship with us and walk us through trials, because honestly, he's been through or went through way worse,
yes,
than I could ever imagine. And to know that just gives me a comfort that, you know, he knows and he'll walk you through that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I think people want to ask the why me, but I don't think that that's, it doesn't say I'm going to let you understand. It's trust me, trust in me.
Yes. Lean not on your own understanding.
Yes, yep. Yes, yes. So I feel like the Lord is just telling me, you know, like we talked about, just to share my story, share my testimony, and hopefully I can let my light shine for others and be the salt to,
I love it,
the people. So now that's why I'm here.
Yes.
At the 2025, my new theme is let go and let God. Mm-hmm. He is alive 2025. I just like little catchy things.
I love that. Love it.
So that's kind of me. Hopefully throughout the year, I'm able to continue to grow on that thought, yeah, and to help others and to help myself. And so that's kind of where I'm at. But so here goes. I grew up knowing about God, and I grew up in a church.
Yeah.
But we mainly just prayed at mealtimes. I was baptized at the age of 8, mainly because that's what you're supposed to do when you're raised in church and you go to church, yeah, and you get baptized and you follow the Lord. And now you're good. You know.
Yeah. It's almost like a checklist,
yeah,
instead of like a, no, I get that. Yeah.
That's how I felt. So I was baptized then. And life was all going fine and well, and childhood was good, and family was good, and all was good. But then my mom got really bad sick. I was give or take around the age of 12. She was in and out of the hospital for about 3 years. She all of a sudden got sick one day and like could not stop throwing up, went to the doctor, and they sent her home and said it was just a stomach virus, that she'd be fine. The next night, she wasn't breathing, pretty much. She was like gasping for every single breath. So we had to rush her to the emergency room. And I remember, like I said, I was 12-ish. And the doctor's like, okay, we have to go to surgery now. And I said, what for? Scariest thing I've ever heard in my life. They said, I don't know, but if we don't go now, she's not going to make it. First off, how do you say that to a child?
No, literally.
So like, I'm terrified.
Yeah, I could not imagine.
Because not only are you going to surgery right now, you don't know what you're going to surgery for.
Oh, no, literally.
And you're planning on saving my mom?
It's like, huh?
Like, I don't foresee that happening. So all I need to do is pray.
No, absolutely.
So I did. So I started praying instantly. But I could go on and on about the hospital stays and the different diagnoses the doctors gave her and multiple operations she needed. But she is okay now, and she is well, and she's still my mentor, my hero, and the person that I look up to. So, you know, God's seen us through that hard time, and
absolutely,
it was rough. But she's okay. So
yeah,
it was a big, big moment. But, just before my mom got sick, this gets a little more personal, but just before, my mom got sick, I was touched inappropriately by a family member. At that moment and that time, I knew things were going from bad to worse really, really, really quickly. So I asked the man, that's like, can I go to the bathroom right quick? And I was young, and I went to the bathroom and I locked myself in. I felt scared and alone. I thought I was all alone in that moment, but obviously we all know that God's always with us.
Absolutely.
So as I was there, I was just praying, and I could hear the man on the other side of the door trying to get me to come out, trying to tell me that they're sorry, it's okay, that they're going to be nice now, and, you know, some just
awful things.
Yeah, some things that were just, yuck.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Trying to you know, trying to lure me back out. But I knew God was saying, you know, stay put, don't move.
Stay put, yeah.
So I stayed in the bathroom that evening as I prayed. And the next day, my parents came and picked me up, and I didn't tell anybody until my adulthood about that night. I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed, which I will say, if you're in that position, it is not your fault. You should not feel those thoughts and feelings.
But I feel like from other stories that I've heard, it's like confusion. Like it racks your brain because you're like, is this okay? Like, is this something that, because you're with a trusted adult.
Right.
So it's like, obviously they know what they're doing. Like, why would I question it? And so I like, just from stories that I've heard of people that have struggled with like sexual assault and like all of those things, it just racks your brain of confusion.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you want to, like you said, almost like you want to make sense of it somehow, you know, because yes, this is a trusted adult. This should have been okay. Like, this shouldn't have been something not. So, but I did learn some stuff that night, obviously, to be more aware of my surroundings, be more cautious of who I put myself around. And, I did grow in that day, and I realized not to stay there alone anymore. Little things like that, unfortunately, you live and learn.
Yes.
But it doesn't end there. When my mom was sick, some more inappropriate touching started happening from another man that should have been trusted in my life. I kept making excuses with the person, kind of like we just talked about, like telling myself either it was an accident, he didn't mean, or making excuses of how it could be worse. Like, this might, almost like you said, almost trying to normalize it. People go through worse things. Like, this ain't so bad.
That breaks my heart.
It was hard. But one night, and I mean, throughout all that, like I said, this is why my mom was sick. So I'm praying my mom will get better. I'm praying this situation will get better. I'm thinking if my mom dies, because we don't know week to week how bad it is, you know, what will I do next? Because I cannot stay in the situation I'm in.
Yeah.
If my mom's not going to be here, you know? So with that all being said, it was just a rough patch. And one night I felt like things were going to go wrong really bad into the worst case scenario. So I just rolled myself up in a blanket as tight as I could. I was acting as if I was asleep when the man was there. I was shaking my head no and just praying, because I knew that this man could obviously overpower me and do whatever was in their mind at the time. I was terrified, I think it would be an understatement, but God did keep me safe. And then at that moment, after that night, I knew, like, something's got to give. Like, God's got to give me the strength. I can't do this alone. What do I do next? So I was able to speak out. I told the trusted adult.
Was this in your adulthood that you talked about it? Or was this still, like...
Probably a month after this incident.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, at the moment, because I knew if something didn't stop, I knew it was going to go bad and go worse.
Yeah.
So I was able to talk to somebody then, which obviously was also hard. But God gave me the strength I needed to have that hard conversation. And from that moment, after that conversation, the person stepped up and stood up for me, and it never happened again.
Good.
So I kind of look at Joshua 1:9 there. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And mm-hmm. I needed him then. I needed him now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the things. So,
absolutely.
So that was a chapter that was able to stop. And mm-hmm. in my head at that moment, like, I believe in forgiveness. I believe everybody makes mistakes and you forgive for yourself often.
Yeah. And like the Bible tells us, you know, forgive as your Father has forgiven you.
Right.
And so it's something that as Christians, you have to walk in forgiveness, or else you're literally going to be overrid with like bitterness and all that stuff. Because I mean, I've walked it in the sense of like, I would choose to not forgive, and then it would end up hurting me even more because I'd be so overridden with bitterness and anger and all that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, it's hard. But it does. It frees you. It really does. So even if the person doesn't ask for forgiveness or doesn't deserve forgiveness, if you forgive, like you said, like, first off, that is what we're commanded to do. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's for you. You are able to move on. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I had forgave them. I'm like, okay, all is good, right? Move on. Life's fine. Obviously, a little different dynamic of relationship there, but it's fine. I forgave.
We're good.
Didn't have any more. I forgave. We're fine, right?
Yeah.
There goes the smile and you're fine. Yep. Don't talk about it anymore. It's done. Smile. But I really did not know how broken I really was from all this. So from there, high school came. All was good and fine. Life was going smoothly. My mom was healthy. Life was good. Normal stuff happening. But I wasn't close with the Lord at all. We weren't going to church anymore. Pretty much after my mom got sick, we just didn't. Pretty much, I remember praying on Thanksgiving at grandma's house. Other than that, it was just, life, you know. Then I got pregnant young, right after high school. I got pregnant at 18. I got married. Everything was wrong about that relationship. I went into it with no good intentions, left with no good intentions, I guess. But within that year, I graduated high school. I got pregnant. I got married. Filed for divorce and officially separated all within a year. Yeah. Okay. So that was, and had a child, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a lot. But I knew that it was not where I was supposed to be. And I knew that, you know, there was something different and that was not going to be a healthy relationship for me and, or my daughter. And that was obviously a lot of debate back and forth, whether it was the right step to get a divorce, because clearly that's not what we're supposed to do. But living in a relationship like that also was not going to be healthy for me or my daughter. So shortly after, I found myself into another relationship with a really good man, but he wasn't a godly man.
Yeah.
So
there's a difference.
Yes.
There's a very good difference.
Yes. And when you're young and all the things, you might not see all that special.
No, absolutely.
I was living a lost life at the time, too. So it wasn't like...
Wasn't like a top priority to have a godly man. Yes.
And you just didn't see it that way, you know? Well, like,
absolutely. And that's, I mean, I've even been there where it's just like, whatever, you know? But yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It was just like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. We know our heart sometimes forgets to tell our mom what to do or whatever. So anyways, all was good in that relationship, as good as it could be without God as the center of your life.
Yeah.
We had a child together as well. So now I have two kids, by far the best blessings in my whole entire world.
Love
being a mom. But like I said, without God in the middle of things and without it being God's way, it's not going to work out. It's not going to fulfill the purpose that you're here for. So we ended up separating. And I knew something had to give. Some things in life happened, and I'm like, look, I hear you. God, I hear you.
Yeah. You know? Like, almost like he's in the back of your head being like, this is...
You're messing it all up.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's over here like, Candace, get it together. You know what you're supposed to be doing. And I heard him. So I'm like, okay, I do. I want to raise my kids in church, and I want, you know, my kids to know right from wrong, and I want my kids to believe believers of Jesus and have that in their life. And I knew that, you know. So at that point, I went searching several different churches, several different denominations, like, and then I fell into Sunny Gap Baptist, which was pretty close to home. And I walked in. Like I said, I'm a single mom with two kids now.
Yeah. And they're pretty close in age, right?
Yeah. Kenley and Jackson are only 20 months apart, 23 months apart.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, she's almost 19 and he's 17 right now. So,
yeah.
A little 17 and 18 right now. But, yeah, I walk into there with two young ones as a single mom. And when I tell you, I felt love. I felt overwhelming love walking into Sunny Gap Baptist. And it's so easy to feel, and some of them too, like I was going to churches. So, I mean, I felt some judgment from others, not necessarily meaning to or not, or just not feeling seen or whatever.
Yeah.
Because clearly I'm not living a perfect life. I have a simple life. I'm walking into a church with two kids, single mom. Like, it just, something's...
I mean, yeah, but like, also, I feel like so many people are so quick to judge things like that, and they don't really see the underlying of like maybe why everything happened, you know? And so that's something that I've had to learn, is just like to walk in grace and to understand that, you know, we all live different lives and all of our sins look different. Yeah. I mean, like, we there are certain things that other people do that maybe I haven't done, but yet I've done this and they haven't done that. So it's like, you know, just walk in grace.
Yes,
and
for sure.
Yes.
And you don't know everybody's past. So also walk with kindness and love and let your light shine for those that are.
Absolutely.
A lot of times people have so much baggage that, like you said, you'll never see what led to the choices that were made or the life they've walked in and their story. But anyways, I walk in and I feel immediate love.
That's good.
And like from then on, I'm like, yep, this is my place. I am welcome here and I'm loved here. And my kids were, you know, loved and welcomed with no judgment. Brother Johnny was the preacher there at the time. And I literally was on fire for the Lord. It was right when I needed it, right where I needed it. The people there that I needed. And there was a really good women's group at the time that had some mentors that I could look up to, which I hadn't felt like I had a whole lot of Christian mentors in my life that I felt like I could really look up to and grow in my faith. But they were there and it was just instant, like, okay, this is my place. And I mean, I was telling people left and right, like, hey, you need to come to my church. It's the best church in the world, you know?
Yes.
Which is definitely how you should feel. Like, so I was on fire big time. And I knew God had a plan and we were going to get to where we needed to be. So I just poured myself into serving at that church and getting my life better and figuring out where I needed to be and raising my kids up and, you know, doing me. So with all that being said, a few years later or a couple years later, God brought my childhood crush back into my life. And
was that like something that like from like elementary school, like middle school?
So Mikey was one of my brother's best friends. So me and my brother are only a year apart.
Yeah. Okay.
So like I was probably, I don't know, sixth-ish grade.
Yes.
So and cute. I thought he hung the whole world, the moon, the stars and everything in it. Yes. And I was just Timmy's annoying little sister to him. Right.
Like hilarious.
Like, oh my gosh, this kid again. Anyways, he was not interested at all, which is probably good because he went down a whole different path and clearly my life went where it went. And if we were to be together in high school, I don't think we'd be where we're at today. So
no, absolutely.
Again, God.
You also wouldn't have the blessings that you have now as your kids and all that stuff. So everything happens for a reason and he can take our ashes and turn it to beauty.
Yes. And he is in the working on. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Not for me, for sure, and I feel it. Like, all the things. But at this time, as I'm still trying to get my, you know, life feeling like it's all back to where I want it to be, I was down set on, I don't want to be heartbroken again.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall in love. I'm killing this single mom thing. I've got this. Like, I don't need no man in my life. So he came down from college and I'm like, I can hang out with him. He's not the settling down type. We can just, you know, have this.
I ain't going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I ain't going to fall in love with him. We'll just date and hang out or whatever. And it's going to be that, you know, nothing else. Well, little did I know, he was planning to settle down and find a family because he was tired of living the
crazy bachelor
fun life. I was totally, now I joke because I'm like, hey, that was false advertisement because I didn't want to fall in love again because I'm tired of being hurt. But God does know. God knows.
Yeah.
So with that all being said, clearly, we got married, had two more great children. And now we're over 12 years in, happily married. So
that's awesome.
As I did not want to, I mean, I'm not kidding. We were together every single day and people are like, oh, is that your boyfriend? I'm like, no, I ain't got one of them. And everybody be like, were you with him last weekend too? I'm like, yeah.
That makes my heart happy though. Like, was he very like, I love that y'all like, I guess, like, hung out and did all of that stuff. And I guess, did you, like, include the kids and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
He was just very, like, oh,
yeah.
That makes my heart happy, yeah.
Our first non-dating summer that yeah. we were together every day. And he was actually working in Little Rock, and I got me and or we got all four of us passes to Wild River Country. So like aww. Every afternoon I would get off work a few minutes early and or like every like there was two days a week or whatever that we'd go. We'd all meet up there and yeah. hang out, and it was like literally the coolest, funnest summer.
I love that.
And we weren't dating, even though we're
we weren't dating. He wasn't my boyfriend.
He went to the circus with us that fall. Like all that. Like no, he's my boyfriend.
Happy yeah. though that like he was very welcoming with like your kids and like yes. helping you with that and all that stuff. That makes me
especially happy. As much as I was like no, and he's like
hold on, girl, give it time. I'm working. Give it time. This.
And that was his plan, and I didn't know yeah, yeah. that until we were married. I'm like, hey, you should have told me.
That's no, I'm, hilarious.
But it worked out exactly how it was supposed to. And, you know, I mean, we do not have the perfect marriage because no one does, but I'm truly blessed and happy and proud to call him my husband. And I'm like, thank you, God, for not, you know,
yeah,
not letting me have my way there because I was like,
no, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now we'll jump all the way back kind of to 2022, as you kind of heard some of the trials and tribulations I went through over childhood and young adulthood. And, you know, God obviously seen me through every step of the ups and downs. So in 2022, like I said, my brokenness kind of had taken over. Life was just getting harder. It was just some work stuff was stressful. All the family deaths had happened. We're trying to get figuring out the new normal after all the COVID shenanigans. Definitely mental health got like, yeah, hey,
you had the daycare. During
yeah.
That
yeah.
Time. Y'all shut down
2 days? We closed for 2 days during all of COVID.
Okay.
Yeah. So
y'all still kept it going then.
Yeah. So yeah. DHS would give us new rules and protocols felt like daily. Yeah. And we're like, okay, new group, right. Let's jump through it, you know?
Yeah.
And we did all the random things. We put some UV lights in the air ducts to help kill the germs. We had a specialty team come in that kills the COVID, you know? But yeah, it was a lot. So my husband was working during COVID. I was working during COVID. And then all my kids were needing to be homeschooled because school was not in session during COVID.
Yeah.
So like all the things, like we're trying to figure out that part of life. And that was not, I'm fantastic with my 5 and unders. I'm not.
Oh, absolutely.
I ain't made to do grade school kids.
See, that was me. Cause like I got hired at school age for the school age classroom. And I get in there and I'm like, yes, this is going to be wonderful. Fantastic. I love it. And it literally like 3 weeks in, I was like,
can you save me?
I'm like, hey girl, I need help.
You know what? I'm like, here you go. Let's figure it out.
You did. And I was so thankful for that.
But yeah, so I'm like, look, I'm not made to homeschool my kids. That's all. Figured that out yeah. real quick. But anyway, so we go through all the things and 2022 is just like when we finally can breathe and be like, whoa,
that's crazy.
What all just happened?
Like a fever dream.
Yes. What all happened the last 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
But during all that too, one of my children had always dealt with anxiety and we've been able to, you know, talk through it and we've had this open communication and been okay. But 10th, 11th grade, 10th grade hit and things just got harder and depression sank in. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, after all the COVID stuff, all the things like we're back trying to get back to school, trying to get back to our normal and things aren't okay. So, I mean, I'm not going to try to say, I couldn't imagine how hard it is on anybody that has full anxiety and depression, but I will say being the mom of that, oof. I can speak from that and it is horrible. It's heartbreaking. I couldn't yeah. take the pain away. I couldn't say the right things.
Yeah.
Long story short, we did have to be on suicide watch at our house for like 6 months. This specific child that could not sleep alone. Somebody had to be with them almost all the time. We had to go through, you know, take all medicine out of the house, all knives out of the house, all like just
wow.
doing that. Like I literally remember being in my kitchen just bawling and praying and like, where do I go from here? Like, you know, my child probably should have been hospitalized a couple times for it, but through her therapist and how open my communication was with this child, we were able to work together and get her on the right meds and keep going. And she's okay.
Yeah.
I will say she's actually thriving now. And she uses that story as well, hopefully to continue to help others. She's sent multiple to therapy.
That's so
talked
good.
With friends. Actually talked to a friend's boyfriend recently, because his girlfriend was going through the same things.
Yeah.
And I just told her, I was like, you know, unfortunately, like we go through these things in life. As we get through them and get stronger, it is our job to help others.
No, absolutely.
And she is. So
that's awesome.
With all that being said, we just had to work through, you know, all of it. And with God's grace and love and mercy, we were able to see a light in that tunnel.
Yeah.
So I was able to, which asking for help should not be so hard.
I know. Yeah.
Asking for prayer should not be so hard. And I don't know if it's just because I'm, like you said, the generation we grew up in, or if I'm just because I'm strong and independent. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it falls, but like, to say, hey, we're struggling, we could use some prayers.
Yeah. I don't know why it's like a shameful thing. Like, yes.
But we got to that point clearly because we had nowhere else to go. So I did. Absolutely. I had to open up to a few friends that were super close to my heart, a few church members, a few family members, and like, hey, something's got to give. We can't keep on this path. But anyways, after all that, 2 years in, I will say, like I said, she's good. I'm not saying it won't have its triggers and hitbacks, and it's a roller coaster of a world, but she's good right now. So we're taking that as a praise.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. So anyways, now in 2022, I'm looking like, hey, some healing's got to happen.
Yeah.
The fun sports car was fun and I love it and I still love it, but that clearly is not, mm-hmm. not what I need. So I really worked on myself, like I said, through 23 to 24. And I was able to write a letter to the first man that I talked about in my story is no longer with us. But the second one, I was able to write a letter to him. And I gave it to them personally in 2023. They do live out of state. They were in town for something. And I gave them this letter. And it pretty much was, I feel like, my way to have my voice heard, to let them be like, hey, I'm not okay. I want you to know that you hurt me and things were not right, you know, and I'm not okay. So during all that, I did give them the letter and I was at the point that I'm like, I think this is a letter of goodbye. I think this is me saying, I fully forgive you. I have to let this go.
Yeah.
And in that, I probably have to let you go. But yet again, we don't know anything. God's got this. So, and months down the road, I get a note back that just pretty much was like validating my feelings and apologizing and let me know like, hey, I would like to have a relationship with you. And I'm like, okay, I was prepared for done, you know? So I was like, okay, God, what do I do now? So prayed over it some more. Just kind of set in this teeter-totter of uncertainty, you know, like,
yeah,
I need to forgive. I do believe fully in forgiveness. And if we can continue in no hurt, that would be fantastic. I genuinely like this person. Like, I think this person's a good person other than that moment in time.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, it was just there for a little while. Well, on March 10th, 2024, so from about a year after the original letter, there was a let go and let God type message Brother Scott was preaching on, and he went on and on about letting go of things that are holding you back. And like I said, this person lives out of state, and I'm listening, and he walks in the door at my church and sits beside me.
Wow.
And I'm like, whew, you know, okay, so where do you go from here, right? And like, Holy Spirit legitimately just completely took over and was like, I got you. And I'm listening to the whole spiel, the preacher's right on cue. Everything is working like exactly what I needed it to be. And I went up to the altar and I literally just bawled. I lost it. I prayed and I'm like, okay, I hear you. I want to let go. I want these chains to be broken. I want a relationship with this person if it can be a healthy one. Just that moment was so much. And then I got to have the support of my church family and my family members. And from that point, I think that was really my turning point to say, it's you can't forgive. It hurt and it sucks, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And we are clearly working on a relationship still. It probably won't ever be what it was clearly before all the things, but yeah. I think it can be a healthy relationship.
Yes, absolutely. And that's to say that, like, God can reconcile things and yeah. things that, like, we never imagined to be possible, and that we in our, like, human brains, like, in our flesh, we think that this is not salvageable. This mm-hmm. is not something that is ever going to be fruitful.
Right.
And all these things. But clearly God always has a plan, and he can reconcile. And
for sure. And then that. Another thing that I think was funny, and I did not even put this together. So when we talked originally, and I'm like, I think I've got to share my stuff. I've got to let people know, you know, God's got this, you know, even when you're in your darkest and even your worst. And that's kind of what we talked about. And I had already decided I'm doing the let go and let God. God's alive 2025 kind of thing. And so after working on, hey, I've got to put all my thoughts together so that I can be able to share my thoughts, yeah. you know. And I actually, that moment was so big to me the day that he was there and the message was on. I wrote it in my Bible. I wrote down the date. I would not have obviously clearly remembered that date if I hadn't. And I did not until actually yesterday, when I'm putting more thoughts together, realize that message was let go and let God.
Oh,
and I awesome. Chose in January that to be my
yeah.
mission statement for the year, if you would, you yeah. know? So I'm like, that's to awesome. Me was like a...
Kind of like a confirmation,
yeah.
confirmation that, yeah,
yeah,
I love it.
And I was like, what? And I did not yeah. put that together until yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, so with all that, I am able to feel joy again after
all
the ups and downs. Yeah. I'm blessed from the change that, you know, like we talked about, some of the negative feelings that you get from your life, you know, like unworthiness, unclean, guilty in any shape or way, you know, but I'm able to let all those go, and I'm far from perfect. I ain't ever gonna claim to be perfect.
Me either, girl. Me either.
But I am who I am, and I'm standing strong in my faith of God, and you know that we can all learn from who we are, and you know, being able to share my story and testimony, I hope that it lets everybody know that it's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay not to talk about it. So
no, absolutely. And that's what your story really, like, whenever I first read it, because you sent me, like, all the text messages mm-hmm. and stuff, and I finally had time to sit down and read it, and so I read through all of it, and it just brought me to tears, just the thought that, like, because, like, obviously I know you now, uh-huh. so, like, I had never met you prior to, like, applying to the preschool uh-huh. and, like, all of that stuff, and then, you know, like, I just knew you to be this joyful bubble. Yeah. Love you, like, all of this stuff. And so to hear of how the Lord brought you from literally some of the most awful things that could ever happen to a child, and for it to blossom into who you are now and loving, like, Christ and just following him and being so, you know, consistent with your belief and your faith and all that stuff. It's a true testament.
Thank you. Thank
true
you.
Testament. You're welcome.
And I do try, obviously, to continue to live the way Jesus wants us to live mm-hmm. and give love and to give forgiveness and to be that light. And hopefully sharing some of this will help to let, but I do, like, we actually talked about it before we got started, and I was like, Gracie, listen, some stuff in my past and my story is rough and tough, and the trials you go through aren't great. I was like, but I don't want anybody to sit here and think, oh, what a sad, horrible life, because I have a good life. I'm proud of my yeah. life, and I'm happy in my life.
Yeah.
And I feel blessed daily yes. in all that I have. So one thing I just wanted to add is, like, as kind of like, I feel like the signs, you know, and I was on my way here and I stopped at Dollar General and I was like, oh, I'm about to go to the restroom while I'm here, you know. I already texted my husband, like, feeling a little nervous, you know, and I go in there, and on the wall, it had, what Bible verse was it? Let me see. I have my phone over there. What Bible verse was on the wall?
You can use your phone if you want to.
I think I left it on the other side. Anyways, there was a Bible verse on the wall. It's one of my mom's favorites. Like, I can do all things through God who gives me strength, but I don't know Corinthians.
I think it's Philippians 3:14, maybe.
It's like, hey, everybody, that's your job. Look it up, see if we're right or wrong.
Fact check us.
Because I'm not sure what it is, but I know the verse clearly because it's, you know, through all the things. And I'm like, I see you. I see you. I do got this. Yeah. I know you're with me. Give me courage. You know, get the courage. Give me what I need to get my story out. So it was just one more of the little signs. And then you saying, you know, this is the Come As You Are podcast. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Come as you are. Don't wait to get right. Don't wait to get your life figured out.
I know, because like it's a never ending cycle.
No.
Because if we waited until we were, you know, better. Whatever it is, because we're never going to be like fully sin free and like all this stuff and try and figure it out ourselves and all that stuff. Like, it takes the blood of Christ.
Yes.
And so that's the thing that I preach is just, you know, come as you are. And then, like, you know, you don't have to stay there.
Yeah.
You need to leave.
Right.
Change. Like, you need to, you know, have that encounter with the Lord and then leave different.
Fully. I fully believe in that 100%. And, you know, God does know. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows the thoughts you're going to have before you think them. So if you're thinking, hey, when I get better, then God can love me. God's going to know what you're doing along the whole route anyway.
That's so true.
So come over here, open your arms, open your heart, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of my whole ta-da. So,
story.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or questions?
I normally ask every single like person that's on like a piece of advice that they would give to maybe either somebody that's in a similar situation as you, which you kind of already touched on that. So I would say just like if you could look back at you whenever you were in like that brokenness and in that very, very vulnerable state, what's like a piece of advice that you wish that you could like give yourself to follow?
So I will say kind of like you said, I kind of talked about some of it throughout. I would say, like, your feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. Have your feelings and don't get stuck there.
Yes.
You know, and I really did use that. I mean, I think I listened to that Matthew West song every single day because part of me need to say, like, it's okay. You're okay. Yeah, you're broken. You're messed up, but you're going to be all right.
Yes.
So to me, I think the biggest thing is, you know, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay not to be okay. Just don't stay there. Don't get so far down that you can't figure out how to get out.
And that's the thing. Like, there's a very, very distinguished line between faith and feelings. And so, like, yes, it's okay to feel like your feels, you know, like whatever the word, like however you word it, it's okay to feel sadness. It's okay to just all of those things. But also you can't let that you're going through deter you away from who God is.
Right.
Because the moment that you allow your feelings to take over, it just becomes a mess, honestly. Because, like, I've been there.
We got it.
Yes, yes. We think we have it. And then, you know, our own vices just aren't sufficient. And so that's, I would just say.
I will say on that, too, I was just watching a really, really good movie. And the perfect example came up is we tend as humans to only pull God out and only pull prayer out when we're in a predicament that we can't do better. So we use him more like the spare tire, like, oh, I can't go anymore. Let me pull some prayer out.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, get God, get the prayer, put the spare tire on, and keep on going, you know. But you should lead like God, and prayer life is your steering wheel.
Absolutely.
And let it guide and direct you through the ups, the downs, the curves, the good times, just literally. Always the leader of your life.
Yes.
So that was a really good way to look at it is, you know, don't, hey, God, I'm in a predicament that I can't get out of, you know? And just to live that every day in constant prayer and your walk with God and your relationship just open at all times of life. My other thing, too, is that you kind of pointed that out about me, so thank you, first off. But be a light to the ones around you is my other advice to everybody. Yeah. Like, you don't know what anybody went through this morning or last night or what's going on at home. And if you could be the one piece of their life or day that they go back home and my day wasn't horrible because of this thing this person said or did, that can make the big difference. And we just don't know what anybody's going through. So just let your light shine and love.
Yes. I love it.
And be intentional.
No, that's a really good one. Cause that's what I do, like a word every year type thing. And somebody was telling me about how theirs was intentional. And I was like, that's a very, very, very good one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so many people are nonchalant, whether it be joking about something or just slapping on a smile, hey, how are you doing, without really like meaning it, you know? And so intentionality is a huge thing.
Yeah.
So
I think, yeah, I think my advice to any listener is, yeah, to be intentional and let your light shine. And I think when you're stuck, don't stay there. Ask for help.
Love it.
So that's me.
I love it. And I'm so glad that you joined us today and like shared your story.
Yes.
Because I truly believe that there are people out there that struggle, you know, with this kind of thing and they don't know where to go. And so to hear your story of how you navigated it with the power of Christ and all of those things is a very, very true testament to how good God is and how
amazing
He truly does stick closer than a brother. And so I just thank you for being on here.
Thank you so much, Gracie, for having me. I needed this just as much as I hope the listeners needed it too. So thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Come As You Are. I'm so grateful that you chose to spend the time to listen to the testimonies of my friends and family. The Lord is so faithful and a present help in time of need, and we have seen that through the eyes of other people's stories. Maybe you find yourself in that place right now, searching, wondering, and chasing after something to fill the void that you have inside. I want you to know that you are not alone by any means, and that we all have this void, and the only way that it can be filled is by Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, was brutally beaten, then died a sinner's death on a cross, and then he was buried in a tomb. He did all of this for you, and he did it for me, to save us from the grip of sin in our lives so that we may have forgiveness and be set free. But the good news is, it doesn't end there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that death and hell is defeated in the powerful name of Jesus. And this Jesus wants a relationship with you. He loves you, and he wants to set you free from the stronghold of sin, brokenness, and burdens, and show you that there is so much more to life. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." This verse wraps up the gospel completely. It tells us that God loves the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he did all of that in just hopes that you would come to him. And how you do that is simply by calling upon his name, admitting that you are a sinner and need a saving, and believing in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. And the Bible tells us that in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." This scripture makes it clear that today is the day of salvation. There is no need to wait whenever the Holy Spirit is tugging at you to come to the Father. If you have made the decision to follow Christ for the first time, recommit yourself to Christ, or have any questions, please email us at ccomeasyouaree.pod@gmail.com with your decisions or questions. Thanks again for listening to Come As You Are. We will see you next Monday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Love you guys.